there's Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. Jeff, a while back, what a match you had with Motley.
Yep. Probably the hardest match I ever had in my life. But I don't like it when things aren't going my way. Motley Cruz, you turn the tables on me. You turn the tables in a wrong way. You've got me mad now. I've stood around. I've listened to everything you had to say. I've did everything necessary. But when you turn around and you backstab me one way or another, and you cheat me out of what's rightfully mine, that's when I get angry. Now I'm the one doing the challenging. I'm issuing a challenge to you, Motley Cruz. Get in the ring with me. This time, I'm going full force.
Jumping Jeff Farmer. Now let's go to the ring.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast.
Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Contact kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Koontz, host of this show. Heard Sundays 6:15 on Radio St. Pete, Mondays 10:15, Tuesdays 4:15 a.m. if you're an early bird. And of course, always on podcast at HMB Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. Wherever you get your podcast, man, look it up, HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Get in contact with the show. Text, call line, 813-693-2124. Email, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Twitter, home_made_man. Same thing with Instagram. Follow me on there. Snapchat, thehomemademan, all one word. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. All right, enough of that. What's up, dudes? How's it going? I'm tired. I'm really tired. It's been a long week. I'm working 3 jobs. I complain about this every time. And I'm sorry for that, because I know you really don't care too much about what probably goes on in my day-to-day. Got some bad news this week that Ian Beckles has already canceled his podcast with HMB Radio. My friend Brian texted me, hey, where's Beckles' podcast? It's supposed to be up Monday. I said, yeah, I know. Thanks for bringing it up. We canceled. We did the first one 2 weeks ago. We were supposed to record again on Monday. Last week, Ian texted me that morning, said, yeah, I don't have time today. We'll do it some other time. Okay, what day do you want to do it? We'll postpone it till next week. All right, that sounds fine. So I got in contact with him on Sunday, sent him a text. What's up, man? You want to record tomorrow? Nothing. Then I followed up with the old question mark a couple hours later, and he said 11, and I said, okay, I'll see you there. Now, keep in mind, I have to leave work for this. Luckily, my day job is super cool and super supportive of what I do, what I'm trying to do anyways. So we made the plan to do that for 11 a.m. I woke up Monday morning to a text message from Ian Beckles saying, I don't have time to do this podcast. I have to chase the dollar, is what he said. I don't want to trash Ian because I like Ian, but I come to you, I record for you, I bring it home, I upload it for you. All you have to do is send a tweet for it. So I'm thinking what happened was somebody got in his ear and said, what? You should just do this yourself. I'll help you do it yourself, and you can distribute it yourself, blah, blah, blah. But But I didn't. I mean, I don't care. You can peddle whatever products you want on the podcast. You can get your own sponsors. It's not going to be much easier. But maybe that's the case. I don't know. So no Ian Beckles podcast. There's one in the can, though, if you want to listen to it, me and Ian, on YouTube and HMBRadio.com. So, yeah, that's a super bummer, man. I was looking forward to having him. But this is not the first time this has happened. If you've been listening, paying attention at all, the Dallas Cowboys put out a podcast about a year ago and haven't put out another one. So, but James Bailey is sticking in, man. James Bailey is here every week, even if he has to do one by himself. He doesn't care. He's here. He's on time. So James Bailey's can only be heard on HMBRadio.com. So check that out. It's called My Mom's Favorite Podcast. It's entertaining, I guess. I don't really listen to it. I hide in my room or leave whenever he records. I've known him long enough now that I trust him. And plus, I don't have anything to steal. So this way I can just kind of go about. He fought me for a long time because initially I was having to sit here while he recorded his podcast and set up the computer for him and set up the recorder for him. And then I was like, dude, you have to learn how to do this. And he kind of fought me on it a little bit. Like, he didn't want to do it. Well, it's like, too bad, dude. You got to do it. And to his credit, he learned. He took the time. He brings his own computer now, which is good, so I can at least play on the computer while he's recording his podcast. So, yeah, we got some stuff cooking. I got some other stuff in the works. I'm not announcing anything until it's like, if somebody starts a podcast with me, like, a month. If they're consistent for a month, then I'll announce. I'll just put them out slowly and see if anybody notices, but I'm not announcing anything anymore. It's a tough racket, this game. Make sure you check out suburbanapologist.com. We got some new pieces going up every week. This week I wrote about the NFL being the killer of comedy, open mic comedy, that is, anyways. I talk about how the NFL season has really put a damper on open mics because bars are not cheap. They're a business. And they have free entertainment that's on the TV that people come in to watch. And it's on 4 days a week, pretty much, if you can count college football. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is football days. And Monday, actually. So that's 5 days. So you only have 2 days to put on open mics where they might actually be interested. And nobody wants to go out on Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, it's tough to get people out. So check that out. I wrote about that. That should be up. Now, by the time you're hearing this, up on suburbanapologist.com. I always post everything on the Facebook page as well, so you can keep up with that. This week, my guest is Dave B. Dave is a comic, but I wanted to have him in more because he's a black guy that is super against Hillary. He won't go as far to say that he's pro-Trump, but he posts a lot of stuff on Facebook that I find interesting. Especially in a person of his demeanor. He's this really laid-back guy, not confrontational at all. But in this world of comedy where everybody is super liberal, being a black guy who's more conservative, I think that's a really interesting thing. So we're going to talk about that. Hillary and Trump were both here this week, less than 2 weeks away, folks, and this will be over, one way or another. I cannot wait. But it also gives me something to talk about on the podcast, so I don't really mind. Trump was here at the amphitheater on this past Monday, and people were out in the lawn, 20,000 plus. Hillary was here today. I'm recording this on a Wednesday. Had about 3,000 show up, maybe. But they keep saying the polls are neck and neck. Hillary's up by a few points. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I have eyeballs, and I see what's going on. People were out in the lawn at the amphitheater for Trump's half an hour rally. And Hillary did do hers at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. Why would you do it that early? Why not wait till the evening time? So maybe that had something to do with it. A lot of people were at work, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't buy it. So we'll see what happens here in the next few weeks. These more WikiLeaks are coming out against Hillary, more of these Podesta emails, the head of the DNC. this Project Veritas, I think it's called. James O'Keefe put out more videos about election fraud. It's wild, man. I think at this point, most people who support either candidate, it's sports. It's kind of, I'm on the red team, I'm on the blue team, and they don't really care what happens. If their team's cheating, they say, good, because we want to win, which is a shame. But I've always been kind of, well, I was very liberal growing up. I voted for Obama the first time, and after seeing that first 4 years, I was not impressed with, he duped me, I felt like. So then I voted third party and made a vow that I would never vote red or blue ever again. So, I mean, there are third party options out there, folks, if you want to look at them. I know it's throwing your vote away. I know they're not going to win. But if everybody who said that voted for third party, maybe something would happen. So just a reminder. And also, if you're not going to vote in the presidential elections, there's other things. There's local seats that are up for grabs. And those are the people that really do stuff, can do stuff that affect your daily life. The national stuff, that's all, you know, there's checks and balances there. They can't really do anything. That's what, even if Trump wins, like, what is he going to do? I mean, if Hillary wins and it's a Republican Congress, what can she do? So it's gridlocked. I just watched these front lines, the past two. One was about confronting ISIS, and one was, which was horrific, because it seems like every move that the president made was the wrong one to stop the JV team, as he called them, a few years ago. And now we're in this mess. And then the other one was about terror in Europe, which I felt like was a warning to what could happen here. Europe is screwed, man. The flood of migrants that came in. I know 99% are good people. There's millions that flooded in. There's going to be a lot of attacks that happen in Europe over the next few years. They don't have the resources to monitor these people. They don't have the resources to vet these people. And I heard somebody say, can you imagine if we let a bunch of Germans in 1940? Would we do that? I mean, you want to be compassionate. You want to help. I do too, but man, if it's at the peril of your own safety at this point, I don't know. It was a big warning. I got really depressed watching it and seeing the president's moves in depth and in detail on that front line on confronting ISIS was. But at the same time, watching it, what could he do? It's every side is against each other. There's so many moving parts, and they all don't like each other. There's a, you know, I mean, it's, what can you do? And I know that the U.S. kind of started this thing with the invasions of, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, and this has been going on for many, 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 many years since my parents were little. But I say we pack it up and go home. I don't know how you win this thing. I don't think nobody really wins. I think you have to, and this is going to be kind of sad, but you got to let them fight it out and see who wins, and then we'll come back and see what happens in the aftermath, which is a terrible thing to say because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to die, but a lot of people are dying now. It's a catastrophe. It's really sad, and we really kind of screwed the pooch on this whole thing. We, meaning the United States and our allies, really, our allies in quotations, because most of our allies are not allies. Or so it seems, anyways. It's really depressing. But anyways, Dave B is going to be here. We're going to talk comedy and his experience as a, not a Trump supporter. I don't think he's a Trump supporter, but a black man who is critical of Hillary Clinton. You don't see that very often. So this podcast is brought to you by Slybar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Slybar.com. Check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/SlybarSt. Pete and Truvy Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, St. Pete. Call and make an appointment at 727-329-9751. And you can find them at Truvy Salon and Spa on Facebook. And I believe there's also their website, Truvy, T-R-U-V, as in Victor, Y. Salon and Spa. Did I write anything else down, Ian? Terrible things to do as a child. I'll talk about that with Dave. Trying to eat better. I'm trying to improve myself because I don't exercise. Because I work three jobs. I know. You know. But I'm trying to not eat chicken nuggets every night. So I've been buying just bags of chicken, throwing them in the lettuce, put a little dressing in there. Not much, just a little bit. That's how you ruin salads. You put a bunch of dressing in there, you might as well have eaten a Big Mac, right? Everybody's heard that. So I'm trying it out, and I think it's working. Also, laying off booze. Well, not booze, but beer. Anyway, still drinking booze. But nice little vodka soda, nice little splash of grapefruit in there. It's actually pretty good. It looks like a girl's drink because it's got the pink stuff in it. But health-wise, I mean, if you're going to drink, that's the way to drink. Can't use tonic water either. You have to use soda. So it's been working so far. I think my pants feel a little looser. And now the weather's cooling down. Hey, maybe I'll start riding my bicycle again. Who knows? Getting better. Coming to the end of the year, it's going to be a new me. Okay. Anyways, that was boring. I don't even know why I brought that up. I wrote it down. But anywho. Okay, let's just wait for Dave. So when we come back, you won't notice. Dave B., comedian, black guy, will be here. Dave, welcome.
Thank you.
So I kind of, what happened to your car? Because you texted me and said you might not even be able to get here.
Well, actually, it wasn't so much my car as my car keys. You see, it's falling apart. So the button part, you know, which is the wide end, fell apart from the, you know, the key end.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't find the key end.
Oh.
And so I was basically sitting in the parking lot of my job, just looking through my car for this key, and I was ready to give up and, like, you know, call someone to come pick me up. And then I realized that it was in my jacket. Now, I don't mean my jacket pocket. I mean a hole that's in my jacket.
Oh, so extra pocket.
Yeah, an extra pocket that I didn't know existed until today. And it's actually quite big, and it's my favorite jacket, so I'm going to have to stitch that up or figure something out.
It's your spare pocket now. You got an extra pocket. You don't want to stitch up the extra pocket.
I don't know. I get confused when there's too many holes.
Yeah, that could go either way.
Yeah, good.
So, Dave, I kind of touted you as you're a comic, but I wanted to have you on before the election because you're a comic who's not liberal, number one. I would say you're more on the conservative side. And you're a black guy, which is even crazier. The first one I've ever met in person in my life. So I kind of like your posts. I like what you have to say. You're outspoken. And I'm afraid to say anything on social media. And you're not.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
When did you kind of get involved in this whole election thing? Or
well,
start to care about it anyways?
Well, I'm, and just to for clarity, I'm more of a libertarian. Well, I am a libertarian. But, yeah, obviously from more of a social issue standpoint, you can say I have, like, conservative, you know, leanings because, you know, I'm a son of a preacher man and I'm Christian. So that, you know, obviously leans in that way. But from a political standpoint, my political philosophy is libertarianism. And up until this point, I haven't really cared so much about politics, you know, just from a standpoint. Well, at first it was just kind of apathy and laziness,
yeah.
You know, for...
I understand,
that's
believe
me. That's most of us, I think, going, you know, high school and early college. But then I started, you know, when I started getting into learning more about economics and, you know, finances and things like that, just kind of like some of it free time, some of it for a career. And I just kind of, you know, learned a little bit more about it. And then Ron Paul came on the scene and he shook a lot of things up. And I was like, what is this guy all about? And so that's when I really started getting into the you know, economics, the history, the philosophy of it all. And from the political standpoint, then my stance came, you know, then I got more interested in politics and actually learning about politics, you know, what do these people have to say? And as I learned more, I realized, oh, yeah, this is, I don't want any parts of this. This is terrible. I don't like these people. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible human beings going to politics.
It's that thirst for power, right, that is concerning. When you want to have control over something that automatically goes, whoa, wait a minute, why? I understand we need it to a certain extent. I think we need some sort of government, but very limited, as little as possible.
Right.
Because I'm libertarian, too. I voted for Gary Johnson last election. And with the whole thing, like, when you bring up libertarians, I'm on board with the libertarian platform, mm-hmm. except the open borders thing. And it seems like most libertarians that I talk to are totally open borders, which blows my mind in today's climate.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there's kind of a schism in, you know, libertarian ranks. There's a couple of them, actually, because you'll find a lot of people who are more left-leaning, kind of libertarian, and then you have the more, you know, right-leaning, so to speak, but more of a classical liberal libertarian. And I think, and this is one of the things I've had to come to terms with, too, and to get back to your original question about why I became more interested in this particular election, is that, you know, one of the biggest issues that we're facing right now are borders. And aside from that, you know, wars and things like that. And I've always been, you know, someone for peace. And, you know, Ron Paul always talked about things of peace. And he had, like, and again, he kind of woke me up to a lot of things because what he said just made so much sense. I'm like, oh, well, that just makes perfect sense. Why is nobody else, like, listening to this guy? And
it was
like,
it makes
he's
sense.
Old. He's old. He can't pause. He looks like a...
He's a kook. He looks weird.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, so I became interested in the open borders issue because... It's divisive because from a libertarian standpoint, you want, you know, freedom of movement. You don't want the government to control people's movement, and that's fair. But because the government, you know, is its borders, you know, the borders are in a way a government program. So immigration is a government program. Moving people in and out or keeping people out or moving people in, either way, it's a government program. So when you say open borders, it's still a government program. The government's still doing things. We're not in a free libertarian society, because if we were in a free libertarian society, all the property would conceivably be owned by somebody.
Right.
So you can't just walk on people's property. There's no open borders in that sense. So mm-hmm. we don't live in that society. We have a government, so we actually have to maintain the borders if we want to have any kind of identity as a nation. And so when some libertarians talk about open borders, they kind of talk about it from that ideal libertarian standpoint, like, oh, we want freedom of movement. But, you know, as I've come to understand and agree with the point of view that, well, no, it's all the government doing stuff. And if you want more of a particular thing or if you want something to lean more in your favor as a libertarian, you kind of have to be practical about it. And this election for me is about trying to be practical. Mm-hmm. Before, I didn't care. Didn't want to vote for any of the two parties. But now it's just like coming to Trump, you know, that's the big, you know, the deal now. He's a big deal. For me, Trump is somebody who actually stands outside of the norm for more than one reason, you know, some good, some bad. But this is one of the issues that he kind of like speaks to a lot of people's concerns, which is, I honestly think many more people in the country are concerned about this than, you know, is let on by the mainstream media and so on and so forth.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I just decided to get involved because, in part, for some of the reasons that you said, I'm black. So, you know, I can get away with saying some things that others can't. People tend to be more civil, liberals specifically, tend to be a little bit more civil when talking to me. They can't just be like, oh, racist, and, like, conversation's done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? Yeah. No, you got me. I absolutely hate black people, including myself. I can't even tell you the nights I stay up cursing God that my skin is black. Like, no. Like, they can't do that because they know they sound foolish. So they try to say other things. And, you know, I just figure, well, I feel I can say a little bit more than others. Then I'm going to go ahead and say it. I may not sway some people. You know, there's people are set in their ways. But there are people on the fence who might be willing to listen. And I can actually carry on reasonable conversations with people without them flying off the deep end emotionally.
Right.
You know, so...
Yeah, I found when I argue with my liberal friends, what they'll do is they'll scoff, and it really bugs me. I'm just like, oh, that's enraging. And I don't want to call them names and resort to the name-calling that they do. So I just decided, you know what? I'm not changing your mind. You're not changing my mind. Let's just not do this. And then when we drink, it comes out. And then we can kind of call each other names, and it's fine.
Right.
But they don't... I found that liberals don't argue points.
Right.
They'll argue situations, and then they'll throw out whatever words they want. Oh, you don't like Mexicans because they're brown. You want to build a wall because they're brown. If they were, you know, it doesn't matter. And it's like, right. No, that's not true. And then they'll be like, yeah, we know what you mean, though. It's like, do you? Because I don't think you do. Apparently you don't.
Yeah, if it was a bunch of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people coming up from the South for the same reason, I'd be like, no. And Presley looks scarier anyway to me. It's yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's the Village of the Damned thing they got going. But was that kind of racist? Yeah. No, yeah, I can't be racist.
Yeah, you're good, man. You can say whatever you want.
I'm black, so I can't be racist. It's fact, according to liberals. But no, you're absolutely right. There's no arguing points. It's, you know, buzzwords and emotions. And really, I have these conversations all the time, but usually they're civil. I had a conversation today on Facebook that got a little bit more touchy. And I have a Facebook picture that has me and a friend of mine who passed away a few years ago, and I've left it up since then. So it's basically a picture of a white guy and a black guy. So if you don't know me, which a lot of these
Assume you're the other guy.
Yeah,
oh,
sometimes okay. That happens, and so they'll actually call me racist. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I've never been called racist as a black man before, and then like silence, you know, radio silence. And like, oh, I didn't realize you were black. It's like, well, no, obviously you didn't.
clearly, yeah.
you made some assumptions about a lot of things, but you're right. It's not an argument, and this election is emblematic of that, where you have one side, which is the Democratic side, and, you know, the DNC and Hillary Clinton, and you know, the media that leans left. They shout these certain buzzwords and points over and over again that are not issues. Like, the left ran out of things to argue about because they know they can't win the point because
It's, you know, feelings. It's not, yeah. They're not looking at, it's how they feel, I feel like. Feel like a lot of the time. But I saw Creative Loafing was live tweeting the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, you know who they're for.
Right.
And I knew it too. But they posted one thing where they said, paraphrasing here, but Trump said something about the media being biased to the left.
Right.
And they scoffed at that and made fun of it. And I'm like, you're a media outlet who's bashing Trump on live tweets right now. Do you not see the hypocrisy in that?
Here, let me confirm the truth of what he's saying while also not recognizing the truth of what he's saying.
Right.
It's a weird double think that leftists have. And again, it's because I think there's not real principles that are there for a lot of people. Like, there's general like happy feelings and kind of, I guess, what they call virtue signaling, which is basically, you know, look how good I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I people of all races and colors and creeds, I'm good. Mm-hmm. You don't, though, and I'm just going to keep telling you how you don't, regardless of what I do in my life and how I act around people. As long as I can point to you and call you this name, I'm a good person. And I sit back, and I'm privileged as a black man. I'll go figure. I'm privileged enough to sit back and actually observe this as it's happening without being, for the most part, criticized. Now, this is coming from white people. From black people, I get plenty of criticism. Now, that's where the real, as a black person who is in any way seems Republican or conservative, even though black people are mostly conservative, but seems like I'm leaning towards like the Republican Party in any way. Then I'm a traitor or an Uncle Tom, that sort of thing, or a sellout. And so that's where the real criticism comes from where I stand.
Right.
But when it comes to, you know, my white friends and you know, acquaintances and associates, they all just kind of, you know, play this game where they're saying one thing and they're acting like they're not saying it, and all the while smiling and feeling good about themselves. I'm like, this is, you got to do better, you know?
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, you're going to get it from every angle at some point. How do you navigate the comedy scene, being as liberal as it is?
I don't know. I generally speaking, I look at the people, you know, and I try to talk to the people themselves. And I know that, you know, when I do my comedy, it does tend to have that lean. You know, part of the reason I started doing a comedy in the first place was kind of to have a forum to say some of these things, but in a funny way, in a non-aggressive way. and really kind of get some things out, because for the longest time I didn't talk politics. Like I said, I stayed away from those things. But even when I started getting interested in certain things and reading and learning and starting to actually have positions and philosophies, I really didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about my friends so much. I kind of, because most of my friends are liberal, and I just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But at a certain point, I was like, well, no, I have to, because what they're saying is wrong. I have to be that other voice that they hear, so at least they have the different perspective. So from a comedy standpoint, I look at it as, well, I'm that other voice. All these comics are saying the same thing, so I need to bring a different voice to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they will begrudge me that, because they too are comics. And for the most part, I haven't got any, you know, flack from any comics. It's just, it kind of feels like back in the day where we don't ever breach the subject.
Right.
We kind of talk about comedy, or we'll joke about something else. But I have yet, you know, outside of this conversation, I haven't actually sat down with another comic in the Tampa scene and actually talk politics or anything, you know, seriously.
It's mostly on Facebook, right?
Right, mostly. Like, most of my conversations happen on Facebook, unless I'm with friends, and then we'll have close conversations about it. And, you know, they're like, Dave, you said this crazy thing on Facebook about Trump. Oh, you mean about how, you know, he didn't want to go to war with Russia? Yeah, that is crazy. You're right. Let's have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
And we all recognize, you know, my friends, we recognize that the in-person conversation is much more congenial. It's much more conducive to learning things, because you can pick up on those body signals and things. You can't just get away with stuff. You don't feel as
tone. Tones, yeah. Really. You can't get tone on the text.
No, thing. No, you can't. You can't. You know, people get very touchy, and I'm one of them. I try to be as clear as possible, because I come from a writing background. I was like English. I was an English major and a computer science major, and I love to write and I love to read. And so, and then I went, you know, to law school. You got to learn how to write differently for law too. So I try to be as precise as possible. Try to be as clear as possible. One of the most frustrating things is when I'm not able to communicate.
Yeah.
When I know I've said this one thing and someone reads it and says something completely different.
Right.
And in my mind, you know, my default is, oh, I must not have said it right. And for the longest time, I was thinking, I must not have said it right. And then slowly I realized, like, no, it's not that I didn't say it right. It's that they're not listening. They don't want to read that. They don't want to understand it. It's going one ear out the other, so on and so forth. And so, you know, I just kind of sit back and take it as, well, I'll take each person as they come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friends, they'll talk to me when they want to talk to me. Fellow comics in the comedy scene, they'll talk to me when they want to talk to me. And we'll have a good conversation, I'm sure, because for the most part, everyone I've met, I haven't met anyone who hasn't been a reasonable, you know, cool person. I don't know anyone really closely yet, you know, haven't had those deep conversations yet, but I'm sure they'll come and I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't feel that I'm not at ease when I'm around people. Mm-hmm. I know how I kind of stand out, and I've kind of been that way for a very long time, so I just take it as it comes.
Well, it's also, too, if you're critical of their team, mm-hmm. They think that you're pro the other team, when that may not be the case. You're just showing the defects in their team.
Right. Right. And that's especially true for this election. Like I said, I haven't said a whole lot about the past elections, because when people talk about Bush, like, Bush is terrible. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obama is terrible. Like, yep. You know.
Agreed.
Clinton and Bush before that, and then just going down the line of presidents. Yeah, they were all mostly terrible. But it seems especially bad this election because of who Trump is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so much about who he is and his personality, and less about, like, his politics. No one actually gives a shit. As a matter of fact, people just say, well, he doesn't have plans. He doesn't have anything to say about anything. Like, oh, really?
You know what I always ask? Did you go to his website and look at his platform? No, did you? It's like, yes. Well, I'm asking you.
It's like, no. Better question I asked, have you gone to Hillary Clinton's website and read her platforms? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, well, no, but I know what she stands for. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. How do you know that? Because she says it. Oh, really? Yeah. And Trump doesn't say anything. No, he doesn't say anything. Yeah. Oh, so he sits up there in silence. No, he just says things about stuff that... You're racist. No.
He assaults women. That whole thing was... I was thinking this is an unconventional election, and that things will get back to normal next cycle.
Right.
I don't think so. I think with the WikiLeaks stuff, the hackers, it's going to be like this from now on, because they're going to be able to dig up dirt on anybody.
Yeah. A friend of mine asked me, or a friend of mine was being flattering and saying, it's like, Dave, I wish you would run for president. I'm like, nah, I don't think. As many times as I said,
I got D picks out there, I know. I can't.
It's like, oh, man, the stuff I wrote on MySpace that I can no longer access because MySpace is just, no, I don't think that's going to work.
Dude, there was an Onion article years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago. It was brilliant, but it was like the RNC and DNC are surveying the Amish community to try to find a candidate that they can pull out because it's got dirt on everybody. This new age, everything's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing's a secret anymore.
Right, right. Which is why it I don't want to say it blows my mind, but it just it still amazes me when people just are so shocked or at least act shocked over things that Trump
people
said.
Do.
That
everybody's people got a dark side of what they do in private. You know, yeah. Everybody, including the well, he's running for office. He should be different. Nobody's different.
This guy, what's Trump, 70 years old. He spent most of his 70 years in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And he was rich for most of that time. So, yeah, he got into some stuff. You know, not only that, he was a media personality, especially the last, you know, couple decades. He was a media personality. Everyone knows who Trump is and what he does. And, like, everybody was cool with it when he was just in his lane.
Yeah.
And then when he starts saying, having ideas and saying things, like, oh, well, maybe I can actually make a difference. Maybe I can do this or that. I actually take him at his word when he says he wants to do this. Some people think he maybe joined the race as a joke. I mean, maybe he does. I don't know the man's heart or his mind. But I take him at his word when he says, I saw things and I wanted to change them. And up until this point, he's kind of done everything that he said he's going to do. He's like, he's paid for his own campaign, you know.
What did he do? He shut off contributions to the RNC or something like that, which I thought was awesome. Because it's totally – and this is what I like about the guy. He has totally ruined a Republican Party that – are so out of touch with everyday people. Because he had the balls to say, we're going to build a wall, we're going to get tough on immigration. Everyone's like, what? We love Mexicans. We love our groundskeepers. What are you talking about? And then the normal people were like, yeah, I like that. I don't have a job, so it'd be nice to, you know, get a job again. Yeah. And then everybody went, oh, wait, yeah, we're going to do that too. So, but it was too late. He had already bashed everybody, took everybody down, and it wasn't even close. And then you look at the DNC, they had, what, 4 people running, and 2 of those guys were out within a week, and then it was Bernie, who was another outsider, who could have been this Trump, which I think he kind of was, but the DNC was so in the can for her, and those emails, the Podesta emails from WikiLeaks showed that.
Yep.
And then Bernie took her money. And when I brought this up to Bernie people, he just bought his 3rd house, and he has a net worth of $300,000. And I said, well, you don't find that odd?
A man who has not worked a day.
Ever. He's been a politician his entire life.
And, like, this is, I mean, he's crypt keeper old, this man. And he hasn't worked a day in his life other than being a politician. And, I mean, that people think that that's okay. You know, it's weird because, you know, again, in the course of these conversations, people want to talk about how, you know, Trump is a bad person, right?
And he might be. He's probably not a great guy.
Right. And from a moral standpoint, I don't agree with like 99% of what the man does. Like,
me too.
I don't like his lifestyle. I wouldn't live that lifestyle. I wouldn't tell anyone to live that lifestyle. But because we live in a country where, because we live in a country that is a democracy and we have to vote for people, we have to, you know, choose what's before us. Now, in the past, I said, well, I'm not going to choose either. I'm just going to, you know, check out. Now, because of a couple issues, you know, immigration being one of them, foreign policy being another, you know, the wars that we're in, I feel that we're kind of at a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in kind of modern American history, you have a candidate who is completely not establishment.
Yes.
You know, despite his, you know, shortcomings as a human being. And, you know, let me say the same thing that Jesus said, let he without sin cast the first stone, you know. Aside from those, you know, he's actually someone trying to do something. All the while, one party that's against him, you know, that's running against him is trying to tear him down. His own party is trying to tear him down. The media at large is trying to tear him down.
That says something to me.
Yeah, I know. Like that by
these
itself.
People I hate. I hate all them. And if they hate him, that must mean something.
It must mean something. And you look, you know, below the surface and below the, you know, the rhetoric, and you're like, well, this guy actually, if he, like, I feel like for him winning, he kind of represents the opportunity for real change. Like, you know, Obama kind of represented that for a little bit. Like, when he first ran, I looked at him as like, okay, well, I don't know who this guy is, and he seems to be talking a good game. And, you know, the whole him being black was kind of periphery, although that, you know, that does have its emotional strings that, you know, pull on you. But I'm like, well, you know, he's black, but well, let's see if he doesn't ruin it for the rest of us. Like, that was my mind. Like, let's see what he does. And, but as I learned more about him, I realized that, okay, he's just another guy. The reason that he's coming out of nowhere is because he's black, you know, because he's smooth and he can say these things and he can lie so easily. And you come to find out later that he does lie and he does turn back on those things. And so people get disillusioned. Now, Trump might be that same person, except, you know, he's, you know, independent. But
he might betray everybody.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm totally willing to accept that. He's a total wild card.
Right.
Not saying who I'm supporting either way. I don't want to go into that game. My ballot's done. I've filled it out.
Right.
I'm done. But and I'm not here to endorse anybody here to my four people that listen to this show. but he could. He's still a better option than Hillary Clinton. You know what she is. There's proof now. These conspiracy theories are conspiracy facts at this point with the WikiLeaks, with the did you hear that James O'Keefe videos? I sent you one. Project Veritas.
Yes, I watched all three. The third one just came out, I think, yesterday or the day before. And yeah, watched all three. And
I think a new one just came out today too.
That might have been in the third one.
Well, was this the one where they were wiring money?
Yeah. There's three of them. That third one, I guess that was today.
Uh-huh.
I was up pretty early this morning, so maybe that was. I'm thinking it. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But I watched all three of those videos, and like you tell people about this, you post it, and like there's one friend of mine who's just like, I'm just not gonna watch it. That James O'Keefe guy is, you know, so on and so forth, and then he links to Wikipedia and about all the things about it. It's like, well, you know what, even if I granted the truth of all what you say about the man, maybe he's a terrible man, maybe he lied back over here or did something shady, he caught on tape very important people saying these things.
Right.
Like, don't you think you should at least look into that? Or if you're skeptical like me, look into it, and then, you know, if you see something fishy, try to research and figure out, you know, how did he get these people? Like, I would ask.
Yeah, you have Google.
Yeah,
Google
how did he get these people to say? First of all, who are these people that are saying it? You find out, oh, these are very important people. And you're like, oh, okay, well, if you're really biased and you just don't want to believe it, at least try to figure out how could he have possibly got these people to say the things that they said?
Mm-hmm.
You know, were there trick questions? You know.
Or editing techniques. I get it. Yeah, and that's like, what they say. That. They could have edited it. And then the emails, they say, well, they could have been, you know, messed with before they were published. And I guess you have to just go with your gut.
Exactly.
Who knows what the truth is, but you got to trust your heart and go with what you think is right at this point. And it seems to be a lot of editing.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands and thousands of emails in these things. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody has the time and the resources. WikiLeaks is like four guys or something. They don't have the resources to edit all these things.
Well, the great thing about WikiLeaks is because they put it out in the form that they do.
I don't mean to cut you off. Gotta go. You want to stay for extra time?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Do you have social media to give out or anything?
Sure. I guess I have a Twitter that I use from time to time, but it's at Sinblade on Twitter, and you'll find me there. I'm starting to post things more, especially during this election cycle. But I'm kind of late to the Twitter game, so. If you start following me, if I start seeing more people follow me, I'll definitely have a lot to say as time goes on.
Perfect. All right, we're going to go to Extra Time, available on hmbradio.com. Comedian Dave B., thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me, man.
You got it, man. We'll see you on the HMB sides, available only on hmbradio.com. My name's Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. Talk to you next week. Vote your conscience.